Oi, you. It's time for another episode of Dorothy and the Dealer. Let's tune into the conversation.
How are you going?
Good, mate.
Have you got a song to start us off for today? You know, how many people tell me that they love their songs? And then other people are saying you need to step up your song game because you need to actually sing something instead of just saying it.
People gather in their masses just like witches at black masses. It's a good lead into today's topic.
What?
That was do 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 do. That was Black Sabbath, mate. That was,
that's Black why Sabbath. I don't know. Who knows?
I think the song was called War Pigs.
I will say to you that
John,
that
you'd know that reason. One, wouldn't you? War Pigs. Yep, there you go. People gather in their masses, just like witches at black masses.
Well, that's why I don't know.
So witches at black masses. Let's talk about this.
Well, how's that related?
Well,
because what are we talking
there's a
about
lot
today?
Of crazy shit been going on over the past couple of months, and you know, it's been a fucking crazy 2020 for so many different reasons, and we could dive down so many bleeding rabbit holes here. Let's focus on one thing. Okay, and I want to focus on getting people, seeing if we can help people to understand what choice is.
In terms of what? Let's be honest, right? We want to talk about, like, say, for example, vaccinations. Would you agree?
Yeah.
That we want to talk to people about...
We want to demystify this friggin' conspiracy thing, right? We want to talk about... And because the minute you go questioning our supposed powers to be, you're a conspiracy theorist. And it just feels like it's a way for people to just scapegoat their own intelligence and, you know, and because people are ultimately afraid to stop and look. And I think we're at a point now where information is so accessible to us that look, you know, that information is accessible to us for the purpose of calling on us to be informed about the choices that we're going to make in the future, because we're going to have to make some choices. You know, where there's a lot to think about in terms of what's going on in the world right now in terms of
choice. Okay, so I think we probably need to start this off by saying this is not a podcast to maybe to sway anybody's point of view. Would you agree?
Yep.
That it's not about being pro or about being anti.
Yep.
It's about being
informed.
Educated and informed.
Yeah.
And I think that forms the basis and the key of any proper debate on anything.
Well, one of the things, you know, as I get informed, right, and the reason I get informed is because I think I've lost trust in the system in terms of vaccinations and all that sort of stuff. A long time ago, you know, like I was around when thalidomide was being pushed. I saw there was a lot of thalidomide children when I was growing up as a kid. You don't see a lot of it now. And so, you know, my father's best friend had polio. And then I don't know what it is, whether it's a good or bad thing about me, but I've always been someone that's sat back and gone, whenever they're trying to ram something down someone's throat, or whenever they're talking about, whenever you hear the word mandatory is a scary thing, because mandatory has so many ramifications attached to it. So when you're hearing that sort of stuff of mandatory, then you have to stop and have a look. You know, you have to go and think about, okay, what's going on here? You know, why are we being pushed this way? What I need to get informed about whether we're making the right moves, whether we, you know, what is the move we're going to make? You know, because you know, and then also, you know, you have Asperger's, you have the claims of people that Big Pharma are causing a lot of this, you know, the use of vaccines is causing a lot of this. You know, when I grew up, we were given 3 vaccines. You know, we were vaccinated with 3 individual vaccines and 3 individual injections. But now it's different.
So I know for me, I think I may have spoken about this on another podcast, but there was a point when I was six that I remember thinking and questioning some of the stuff I'd been told, and not by, you know, governments or anybody else or medical fraternity. This is just a parental thing, right? I remember questioning some stuff that I'd been told, and I remember thinking, I don't think that that's quite right. It's not quite right for me. It doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah.
And then as I've gone through my life, there's been pivotal times in my life where somebody has suggested something that I've gone, oh, I never thought about that. And then I've had to be like, oh, okay, that makes sense. I have to think about that in a different way. And then probably about, what are we now? Probably about 15 years ago, maybe 16. I remember speaking to somebody about vaccinations, and for me it was like it was just a done thing. There was no questioning about it. Didn't know enough. It wasn't because I wasn't questioning it. It was because I didn't know enough about it. I wasn't in my, what's it called, my field, right?
Yep.
And then one of the parents of one of my friends, whose daughter is around 16 now, so it probably would have been about 15 years ago, and she said, no, I don't vaccinate. I don't believe in that. And that just blew me away. I was like, what? And so it just sent me personally on my path to actually ask questions. And I didn't do that straight away, to be honest, because I thought she was a bit mad. Yeah, I thought she was
At first you want to attack. You think, what the fuck is wrong with you?
I know. I thought she was absolutely insane. I thought, what is going on? Now, having said that, she never really said it in a way where she was trying to convince me of anything. She just was very adamant that she was anti. And I think that, you know, I think it's really important at this point to say we're not going to be trying to convince anybody pro-anti. We've already said that. But also that we're not experts. We're experts in our own personal field, which is experts in terms of, you know, human development, et cetera. Mm-hmm. But we're not experts in, you know, in terms of – we're not medical experts. Having said that, we're able to do – research, and we're also one of our biggest things is being able to help people to become critical thinkers. I remember, you know, we stand in our seminars and we say to people, don't just take what we're saying for at face value, because at the end of the day it might not sit with you, or you might have to do your own research, and I think that's really, really important in this whole question.
Black and white is always a friggin' problem.
So
mandatory. The minute you hear that, it's a problem.
Yes. So I think the biggest thing that's come up for me in these recent, you know, in the past few months is the fact that we're talking mandatory.
Yeah.
And mandatory for me is like somebody saying there's a one-size-fits-all solution to whatever medical stuff is going on. And I don't think that is just on a superficial surface level, that does not make sense to me.
Well, I mean, if we're talking about vaccines, you don't have to – I mean, we innately know – there's no human being listening to this that doesn't innately know that there's something going on. You can't possibly sit back and not question, hold on a minute. There's something going on here.
What are you talking about in terms of the mandatory vaccination?
In terms of the mandatory thing,
it's not being talked in mainstream mandatory though.
Yeah, but it is, because I'm being sent clippings. You know, I'm being sent
right about people. Yeah, it is actually. Right.
Definitely 100%.
That people are saying that you're not, because we've seen people suggest that we're not going to be able to have large mass gatherings unless we're all vaccinated or immune and stuff.
And so. You don't have to look very far down the rabbit hole of non-mainstream to get very intelligent scientific evidence stating that we are not at a point where we can say that this is not going to be harmful to our kids and to people. And when you don't have to look that, we only got to dip your toe into the rabbit hole, and you're coming up with very credible human beings giving clear evidence as to why we shouldn't be doing this. I mean, if it was going to save the world, we'd all be on board. But there's a part of us goes, well, we have, what exactly are you guys doing? You know, what exactly are you making mandatory? And if you're making this mandatory, then what are you going to make mandatory later? And if we hand over our human rights, basic human rights like this, to say no, based on informed choice, then...
I don't get what you mean by that.
Well, an informed choice is when it becomes mandatory. Your
there
basic
is no, there
human,
is no
basic
informed
human rights,
choice. Yeah, so I don't get it. What do you mean?
Well, there's no choice. Mandatory right. is there's no choice. So even if you're informed and you're educated and you're
right,
going,
so you're
no,
saying
no, no, no,
that
no,
it doesn't matter.
It doesn't
you,
matter
because it says it's going to be mandatory.
Yeah.
Right.
It's like you now no longer hold the right to think for yourself.
Yes, and this is my biggest concern about it at the moment with what's happening is that there's a push to, and I know people on both sides of the scale, but I definitely know people that are like, no, as soon as it's happening, I'm just getting the vaccine. Just give it to me so I can get on with my life. Right. Yeah. But I think what
normally my reaction to those people is, you know, there's a part of me goes, well, you're a stupid fucker. There is, and I'm not going to make any apologies for that. But I have to be careful of that because that wipes it. That just makes me exactly the same as them.
Correct.
And it wipes out the whole conversation, which you've pointed out to me on numerous occasions. Yep. You can't do that. You have to start to hold a conversation that says, well, have you thought about the ramifications of this? Have you looked at the figures? Have you looked at, you haven't got to look very far down that rabbit hole to see why the CDC is no longer being backed by American dollars. The World Health Organization is also not being backed by American dollars anymore because they've been fudging data. So who's behind the fudging of the data? Why are they trying to do that? I mean, the problem there is the minute you go doing that, you're called a conspiracy theorist.
Well, hang on a second. So, but you're even talking about stuff that's just beyond the surface stuff of the... Yeah. Let's just go back for a second. So because people just hear fudging data and they don't... Some people wouldn't understand it because they're like, well, how do you know that? Mm-hmm. You know, so I think we can go down that, down the track, right?
Yeah.
But just in terms of the concept of the mandatory, right? My biggest concern with that and my biggest concern with people who just say, yes, just give it to me,
yeah.
right? Just give me the vaccine. I have no problem. I absolutely have no problem with people consciously making that choice. Like, because if that's a conscious choice that people make, I think that's fair.
And so what's a conscious choice?
And then a conscious choice to not get vaccinated I think is also fair. Right?
Yeah.
But my concern is that I don't believe people are making conscious choices.
Yeah.
I believe that from everything that I'm seeing, I believe that people are making choices based on information that they're told and based on not doing their own research. And I don't mean that you've got to be a scientist to do your research.
Absolutely, yeah.
I mean that you've got to just ask some questions. And the problem, like you mentioned, is that there's a particular, you know, if you ask certain questions at this time, at this point in time at the moment, if you ask particular questions, you're labelled and branded as a conspiracy theorist, you're labelled and branded as a tinfoil hat wearing whatever because you're asking questions.
Have
but
you got
the
a
thing
tinfoil
about
hat?
It, I don't. But the problem is that we're taking at face value everything that we're being told, and that's a concern because it's like when you go and get an operation.
Well, people are watching.
Let me finish.
Hold
let
on,
me finish.
Yeah, 2 seconds.
Oh.
People, sorry, hang on. Stay with it. Stay with it. Write it down. Write it down. People are afraid to ask questions either side.
Yeah.
To question either side. To question the mainstream. They're afraid to question the mainstream. To question and be inquisitive about the opposing side, which is, shouldn't I do it? Mm-hmm. So people are just bullied and frightened into, you know.
Well, this is the point I'm trying to make here, is that if you go and get an operation, if you've got, like, if one of the kids has a concern with their appendix or with their tonsils or something, and you go to ask about the operation, they will tell you the risks and they'll tell you what the outcome might be. So you get to measure and weigh up the risk versus reward ratio and then you make your choice based on that, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's not happening. That's my concern, is that that's not happening with the vaccines that you're being given. It's just like as soon as you're questioned or as soon as anyone's questioned, you're labelled as someone who doesn't believe or you're labelled as a tinfoil hat wearing, etc. And the problem with that is that they've got it wrong in the past because we're not saying that doctors, that the individuals are a problem here. We're saying the system is a problem, and we're saying the enforcing is a problem.
Yeah.
And where that comes from is another rabbit hole we can go down, mm-hmm. right? But my point is that if you are what was I going to say? If you're questioning it and you're just being labelled, right, and they've done things incorrectly before.
Yep.
Like we were told asbestos was safe. Asbestos isn't safe.
Yeah.
I remember going into my doctor's office when I was a kid, and my doctor had a cigarette, an ashtray there, and he would smoke while in the office. Well, I was in his room, in the doctor's rooms, right? And I remember his yellow beard as a result of doing that. And back in the day, they told us that cigarette, like that pregnant women should smoke for their health because of, you know. So we've been told certain things are okay. And then with hindsight, we've looked back and seen that they haven't been, yeah. right? So for people to look and to say and to take things on face value for me is a concern because they're not prepared to do. And the thing is, they're not prepared to do the research into looking and to asking. So
the problem there is that people are frightened to do it.
Right. So because that's a whole other story,
now what,
right?
Now what the fuck is happening is that people are now policing people. Make sense? People are at parties and they're policing people. If you bring it up at a party or you bring it up at a dinner, people are policing people and saying, yeah, no, but that's just conspiracy bullshit. There's not, that's just all.
But I don't agree with that. Mm. And I'll tell you why I don't agree with that. Because response is based on communication.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the same thing, what you've explained has been me, because I have gone to my family, I've gone to people I know, and I've tried to ram down their throats what I thought about this whole thing, right?
Mm.
And what I thought about, have you thought about this? And why are you thinking, like, that's wrong that you think, like, I have been in that position where I've tried to convince other people to my point of view.
Mm-hmm.
All that does is make people stand stronger in their own point of view.
Yeah.
So
stand stronger in their uninformed
point of view. And that works on both sides. You cannot have mm-hmm. that just on one side of the table and not on the other. Mm-hmm. So on one side of the table, you've got anybody who questions a vaccine or anybody who questions the safety of vaccines, because there's nothing necessarily wrong with the vaccines. There's a problem, in my opinion, with the safety of the vaccines, right? So if you question safety, right, you're going to have some people who go, I can't believe, so you should never go to the doctor again. And why are you, you know, because you've questioned one thing. Just because I question that, oh, should I have my tonsils out or not, or should I have my appendix out or not, doesn't mean I'm never going to go to a doctor again. Why do people say that about vaccines? And it's because there's such an ingrained, you know, polarity around that. And the people who are, you know, as soon as you bring it up, there's people who like poo-poo your point of view and then they don't hear anything you've got to say. But on the same side, there's the opposite side of the scale, which is the people who are trying to educate people on vaccines and the safety, et cetera. But they treat the other people just as badly because they call them like asleep, but they're not doing it in a way to try and educate and to try and help and to try and love. They're doing it in a way to criticise and say, I'm right, you're wrong. Yeah. And these people over here are saying, I'm right, you're wrong.
Yeah. So I fully agree with you. We have to move away from that model. We have to move away from marginalising and also condemning people for, because I mean I'm guilty of it, man. I'm guilty of you know, the sheeple term. I'm really guilty of all that stuff.
I have no problem with the term. I have the problem with the derogatory use of it with the implication that you're not that yourself. And we use that sometimes because we express that we have been that too. Like we all have been in that position where we're the follower instead of somebody who's like thinking for themselves. We've all done it.
Yeah.
But to demean other people for their opinions isn't going to help in this. So we've used the analogy of water, right? When we talk about opposite ends of the scale, there's hot water and there's cold water.
Mm.
But the whole thing is just water. Would you mm-hmm. agree?
Yep.
We're just labelling it hot, we're labelling it cold. It's the same when we talk about peace and war. Peace and war is just two varying degrees of the same thing, which is love. Yep. Happy, sad, good, bad, right, wrong, two varying degrees of the same thing, which is love. In the same way, my view is that what we have here is people on two sides of the same freaking scale. You've got pro and anti,
mm-hmm.
right? But both of them are on the same side. And the same side that they're on is the protection of themselves and their children. Would you agree?
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
Because at the end of the day, they're only saying, yes, get it, because they want to help. And we wrote a blog on this years ago before it, you know, you wrote some cool information on this years ago. Mm-hmm. And it's about the fact that everybody's just doing the same thing, right? Mm-hmm. Pro and anti is like, oh, well, I'm not doing it because I want to protect my kids. But it's the same thing. So now it's how do we have that discussion so that we can open and educate and actually ask the questions? Because there's a lot going on at the moment where people who are commenting and are commenting in a quite balanced and authentic way are being censored. Like they're being censored on the social media platforms and they're being censored on the video hosting platforms like YouTube and Vimeo and Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, et cetera. People are being – and even Google, because they will change the algorithm, remove some of the information so that's not easily available to you. So my question is if they're safe and if there's no problem with them, why is that happening? And I'd be wanting to know why and asking the questions. And I think that's a wise thing from anybody's point of view. Because even if you're pro, if you're pro or anti, doesn't matter. If you're pro, it's like, why would they be removing that? That actually makes me think that that's a problem to me, right?
Yeah. And so, look, I 100% agree that the thing about it is that deliberate control of data is actually stimulating people to ask questions. But we have to be, I agree with you, we have to be more compassionate and understanding and empathetic and more open about encouraging people to question. It's not just about saying, oh, it's right, it's wrong. No, you got to encourage people to question and you got to be clear about who you get to question and how you get them to question it. And I agree with you because banging the table and kicking the chairs never got any of us anywhere. And I agree that it is about us saying, and I mean, the problem there as well now is that the minute you go looking for any data now, what's happening is Google has already censored it.
True, but the thing is that if you're asking the questions, if you're putting it into your reticular activating system that you want some answers, the answers will come to you.
And
you
it know? Doesn't necessarily it's, mean it's going to come through YouTube, Google, Vimeo.
Yeah, you'll start to attract people who are open and questioning. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I've spoken to a couple of people recently and it's also me because I have to speak to myself because I've been a little bit concerned that certain people that are close to me that I love are ready to line up to have a vaccine. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. At any minute, whether it's a flu vaccine or vaccinating the kids or whatever. And I really have no problem if they make a choice to do that. What I'm seeing, though, and my perspective of it is that they're kind of lining up to do it because they think it's the right thing to do and it's not being questioned. And my concern with them, like even now they're talking a little bit about that you're not going to be able to travel, you know, like the system like there is in China where there's kind of – they're implementing a point system in China where, mm-hmm. you know, you get graded on things that you do well and you get, you know, minus points on things that you don't do as well, et cetera, because they're monitoring, you know, they're monitoring all the Chinese citizens and they can see them – facial recognition, there's a point system. And that's, you know, by the by, but the point is that – oh, what was I going
to
get?
Well, who gets to control that? Like who gets to say?
That's what I was saying. Sorry. Yeah. I know that's the thing, right? That's what I was saying. Let me just finish my point. So now what they're doing is they're thinking that no one gets to do anything unless they're, you know, vaccinated because they've created – and we need to talk about fear because fear is an important part of this whole scenario in my opinion, right? But they're thinking of injecting us now and having with the vaccines and having micro dots, like quantum like dots basically that we are tagged with so that we can be proven that we have had a vaccine before we can travel, before we can do sorts of things, similar to what they're doing in China. And the concern with that for me is that, again, that's becoming the talk is that's going to be mandatory, right? And I remember, Mitch, when I was teaching, right, and I remember talking to my kids about World War II and Hitler and how he could convince so many people that you know, to persecute the Jews, right? And The kids couldn't understand it. So I used to speak to them about a couple of things. I spoke to them about a book called The Wave, where they did an experiment where they did that. And I showed them a video on YouTube, which is a teacher explaining the difference between kids who had blue eyes and brown eyes. And they did an experiment in the class. It was about discrimination, not so much the Hitler thing, but it was about how an authority, and the kids were overwhelmed and couldn't get how an authority figure could tell us that a race that had blue eyes or brown eyes would be, you know, worse or better than the other race. That's right. Do you know what I mean? And so the kids at this age were able to understand what was happening and the fact that they were just kind of what's the word? Controlled is not the right word, but they're basically influenced to think that one is bad, one is good, et cetera, right? And I remember thinking about that, thinking, oh, thank God we don't live in a time where that's happening, right, and where we can have our own point of view and we have that freedom of speech, et cetera. But now with this thing, what I'm concerned about is they're going to inject us, right? And let's say they do that and they're trying to tag everybody with you know, the information, right? What difference is that from the people who got their numbers tattooed with them at Auschwitz? Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? It's, to me, it's the same thing. It's just happening on a different scale thing, so that people, it's almost like we're blinded to it. And I wonder, in 100 years' time, are people going to look back at us and go, oh, my God, how did they allow that to happen? Because, you know, because people...
Well, I mean, they're sold on a couple of things. We just saw it today. You know, they're sold on this, you know, hey, I'm really looking forward to the day I can step outside my door and say Uber, and an Uber turns up. Hey, I'm really looking forward to the day that, you know, I can walk into a store and just not have to pull out a card just by waving my arm over, you know.
So then
I've seen people, like, it's gone from, you've seen technology on rings, watches, you know, but the minute you put some technology on you, you're becoming a cyborg.
You're like near, even using your phone as the calculator or whatever, instead of using your own brain. Yeah.
You're becoming a cyborg. So, I mean, I was listening to an Elon Musk interview with Joe Rogan where he was saying, you know, we're going to have to interface. If we don't interface, you know, the technology is growing at such an exponential rate. AI is growing at such an exponential rate, and it's not being policed. Nobody polices AI. And it's happening at such an exponential rate that if we don't do something about it, it will be a situation where, you know, it'll be a Terminator situation where machines will take over. And I listened to a lot of Joe Rogan. Like, I was listening to another crazy interview the other day about the same sort of thing, the problems with AI and the fact that it's not getting policed. But this is what is happening, you know. What is the difference between a tattoo at Auschwitz and numbers? You know, and a chip underneath a microchip underneath your arm.
Well, the thing is that it's designed like,
and a frigging point system. I mean, this is an Orwellian reality, you know, that we're stepping into.
So the thing is, people will often look at the benefits of that without checking out probably the drawbacks of it. And at the end of the day, if we're heading down that path, we're heading down that path. I don't know what else we can do, but what we can do right now in this moment is do everything we can to help people to think for themselves, because. Yeah. You know, we were having this discussion with someone today about the system, and they're like, well, we're good people and, you know, we'd be okay in that point system, so what does it matter, right? But the point about it is that what if, right, somebody else comes into power and they start doing things that you don't agree with, and therefore next minute you try and speak up about that, and because you have a differing point of view, you get reduced into your point system, which means you can't go travel, you can't work, you're stuck, you know. There's lots of ways that our humanity is getting
stripped.
It's getting challenged, and there's a potential for it to get stripped if we don't at least educate ourselves, at least ask some questions. And I think
But I also feel that, like, we have to ask the question, well, who's going to be the person that gets to press the pluses and the minuses on that score system? And why would they want to do that? Like, why would you want to do that? And I think for me, it boils back to the fact that, you know, we know that there's bad people at all levels of, you know, of all levels of society.
Bad bad meaning, like,
well, there's people
that have,
there's people who have intentions that are to control, to manipulate for their own purposes, for for their own financial gain, That happens at the lower end of town when someone's breaking into your house, but it also happens at the higher end of town You know, in organisations and in a big conglomerates, it happens at both ends of town.
So my thing is that the way that that happens, and this is including the vaccinators because it includes everything, right? The way that we're conditioned to just take a solution is when we're fearful, right? So fear creates an avenue for us to feel like, let's just grab an answer so that we don't have to be fearful, right? So, for example, in terms of the vaccination debate, you'll have things like the measles, right? And people are afraid of contracting the measles and they're afraid of death. And as a result of being afraid, they will say yes to the measles vaccine, thinking that there's a solution in that. And thinking that it's going to abate the fear of death, right?
But you could give a person a frigging placebo for that and it could abate
the fear. Right, so, and the reason being is because that's in our minds, right? The fear, and I'm not saying that it's not real and there's not people that do die, right? But in my understanding and my research, the deaths that have occurred from the vaccine are in way higher quantities than the people that actually die from measles itself, right? And that's not to say that it's right or wrong. It's just to say that that's the evidence, right, that there's evidence stating that. Now, but the thing is, it's the fear of death or the fear of, you know, loss of lifestyle or the fear of whatever that will make people just look for a solution that somebody is presenting to them without realizing that there may be other options. For example, right, there may be other options to immunity than simply injecting toxins into our system, and perhaps our personal and normal immunity and our health right, is going to help with that. Now, I don't see that they're equally pushing health and natural immunity as they are with pushing the vaccines. And the problem that I see with that is that it's not a balanced perspective. It's a one-sided, in my perspective, it's a one-sided marketing to that end. And if that's the case, why is that the case? And this is where the questions come in. Who benefits from that? And the thing is that there's so much research and people, you know, I've heard people say, oh, but you don't die. We had vaccines and we don't die. We're not saying that you die just because you have a vaccine, right? But we also say that, well, I also see, how I see it is that if you're injecting toxins of any, you know, any amount straight into the bloodstream, that's going to be a problem. And there is evidence that there are toxins in vaccines and certain toxins. So to me, that's safe.
There's tons of evidence.
Well, there's tons of evidence, right? So there's certain toxins, regardless of what level and what amount they're in, they're there. And in terms of the fact that that there is going to cause an issue, it cannot not cause an issue. So maybe it may not cause an issue straight away, but it can cause issues down the track.
And down the track of your bloodline.
Exactly.
But also, I mean, that whole concept with measles, when we were talking about this earlier, when they gave you a measles shot, there's certain things that have to, if you have measles, measles brings on other certain things within the biology of your system.
Well, what happens is that when, we were just talking about it as well before, that when we were young, we got sent to places so that we could get these, have measles parties, right? Because if you had them, then you were immune to it. Then you weren't going to get it again unless you were immune deficient in some way. But you would be able to, you know, you'd be immune to it, right? Now, the thing is that apparently with the measles vaccine, there's not been enough studies done that say that, because if people don't get the measles, that there's certain immune responses that the body creates that helps them going forward in other situations as they go through their life. So if they have the measles, they have a higher chance for their body to naturally fight off some of those other things. Right. And when we stop that happening, if we think that we're going to stop that happening, we can't have the pleasure of that without the pain of that. And again, if it's one person, if you are come to me and you're truly and absolutely informed about the risks and the rewards of having the vaccine, and you choose that you'd rather have the risk of your child developing XYZ, right? Or and you'd rather have that risk than having the death of the child or the possibility, you know, 0.001% or whatever it is. I don't know the figures. I'm just making it up. Let's say it's a 0.1% that your kid's going to die from measles if they contract it, and it's a 0.5 or 10.3% that they're going to have XYZ. Then you can actually weigh up what the outcome is, and then you can make an informed decision. Mm-hmm. And I think if people are making informed decisions for their own bodies and their own well-beings, so that's one thing.
But I think I totally agree. And I think that one of the things, because I've been asking myself, why are people so afraid to make informed decisions? And I think there's a couple of parts to that. But one of them is that if I start to say, no, I've done some research and I'm informed, to people that are not informed and haven't done research, what it says to those people perhaps is that the reason they push back is because perhaps they feel threatened at the intelligence that has gone into it. Perhaps in some way they would have to own up to the part of them that hasn't been, that has, you know, been blindsided or hasn't, feels they weren't intelligent enough to go and make the inquiries or get informed. Because I ask myself, why is there so much pushback and trust in a system that has failed before and succeeded before? It's done both. But why do people, you know, push back so much? And it's I believe it's because in them pushing back, it allows them to. I mean, why would you push back against someone that's saying, no, the information's here. I can show you the stats. Yeah, there's the data.
Because, Mitch, that happened to me and I pushed back. And the reason is because there's that cognitive dissonance thing that you kind of feel like, oh my God, I don't want to look any further than that because I can't believe that that would be the case. So there was
I don't want to believe that that's the case.
Right. So there was a part of me that did that. But also I was lucky enough that I had someone who was she was very forceful with it, but she was actually also compassionate with my understanding and my point of view and was open to talking with me about it instead of talking at me about it.
Yeah.
So I think response again is based on communication. So people who don't want to hear are because the people on the other side don't want to speak and educate. It's both ways. You can't have the pleasure of one without the pain of the other.
Sure, there has to be. Someone said that before.
I know. There has to be that. Does that make sense? Yeah. So if somebody's not listening, it's because, like, I've realized for me that the people in my life that aren't listening, it's got nothing to do with them. It's got to do with me and my ability
and how you're communicating
and how to communicate. And so the only way transformation happens with love, we've said it many times. Right? It doesn't happen with hate. To hate somebody for their point of view is exactly what the vaccination debate is trying to create, in my opinion.
Yep.
We're actually all on the same side. If we understand that and ask questions, why are you on that side? Well, this is why. Well, why are you on that side? Oh, well, this is why. Then we have open communication. That's the place I feel we need to get to.
Because
anything else is belittling everybody else's opinions, and it's actually not going to get the outcome that you want.
No, I totally agree. And I think that for me, that's been the frustrating thing, because part of me wants to get to the conversation. But to do that, I have to ask, what is going on for you when I talk about this? What is it triggering for you when I talk about this? And how can I talk about this in such a way that it triggers your interest as opposed to make you protective or resentful?
But this is what I had to ask myself, right? Mm. So I had to flip that. Mm. So with me talking to my family, I realized, instead of saying me, why do they not hear me? I said, why is this so big for me? Why is this such a big thing? Why am I getting so emotional? What am I attached to? What's my purpose here?
Yeah.
And as soon as I got that, I realized that my purpose was like the way I was speaking was to convince. It wasn't to
connect. Rescue, trying to save, trying to fix.
And then doesn't matter who you are, right?
Yep.
If I say to you, oh, yeah, I can do that. No, I have the answer. You push back on that.
Yep.
Would you agree? Because at the end of the day, you feel like, well, no, let me find the answer. So I think that you have to ask yourself that question. So you've got to flip it on yourself. Why am I so attached to this? Why am I so keen on changing somebody else instead of recognizing what's going on for me. Because I promise, like we talk about it all the time, Mitch. If you go in to try and save the whales, right, it's not going to work because you think that there's something needs rescuing. If you get that there's nothing needing rescuing and you get that you're doing it from a point of love, you will go and you will educate and then you'll have a chance to save in whatever format because you won't call it saving anymore. You'll just say it's love.
Yeah.
If you want to save the starving children and you go in and you feed them, like what's his name? Geldof learned this in his Live Aid concerts, right? Like we talk about. The first time he was just going in to save and then the money ran out, right? But as soon as you get that there's nothing to save and you get do it from a point of view of love and you do it from a point of education, that when you go in to communicate, you're doing it from a different perspective.
Yeah.
And I think that's the key with all of this. And I think, I mean.
But at the end of the day, like I want my kids to be vaccinated safely to be able to go and travel the world and go into places where there is malaria, where there is these issues, you know. So I'm not pro or against. I'm pro inform. You know, we have to get informed and it has to be
and okay. Choice.
And it has to be okay. Sorry, I'm pro-informed and I'm pro-choice. It has to be okay for us to ask those questions. And we should not, you know, we should push towards making it a safe environment for us to be able to ask those
100%.
Questions. And this is, you know, and be able to really get informed about what's going on. And we should all be standing up for that point.
That's my point, right? That there is 100%, I have to agree with you on that. Mm. It's like it doesn't matter what side of the fence you're on. If you are not, if you're being silenced because, you know, and or you're not being able to find that information, if you're not able to ask the questions or if you feel you can't because of some sort of authority like the doctors or whatever, then you need to be able to. I feel like that's where our responsibility lies. Our responsibility lies in that, you know, in being able to ask the right questions and educating ourselves and doing it from a point of view of love, not doing it from a point of view of because that's just not. It's I don't. Not just,
but
I, don't
I think. But I also think it's.
But that's part of the process.
Yeah, it's
as
part
well.
Of the process. It's part of the evolution of us getting there, and I trust that with our listeners that this is a you know, it's a big podcast for you. It's for if you're listening to this, you're probably thinking, fuck, you know, there's got to be some merit in how we have the freedom to be able to research and find
and
out for ourselves.
Communicate. Absolutely. Cool. So at the end of the day, I hope that do we feel we covered everything in that?
Yeah, I've loved that. That was good.
I think so too. Mm-hmm. So the answer really is educate. Just educate yourself and then communicate with love. Educate and communicate with love.
And understand, be pro-informed choice and do it with love and care and compassion for each other, for either side. Have as much care and compassion for the other side as you do you.
And the other thing I will also say is the fear. Figure out where the fear is coming from, what you're actually afraid of because and where, you know, I think that, you know, I think people need to ask questions about – I will touch on this before we finish up. People need to ask questions about where the information is coming from and how much of that information is – and it's like when you watch a documentary. You can watch a documentary and you're like, wow, that's awesome information. But then you find this person has paid for that data. Documentary. Yeah. And so you're going to get a loaded documentary. It doesn't matter which side it is. It could be on the health side and it could be not. It could be, you know, it depends on who's paying for that information, who's paying for the data that's coming out, who's in charge of that. You've got to look a little bit deeper because if you can do that, then you can become more educated as well. And then your fear, I think, can be balanced out because I think the biggest thing you got to work on is that fear of
future events appearing relative.
Yeah, fear of the future, fear of, you know, death, fear of whatever, because that is what will keep us from not asking questions. So let's maybe talk about then what people can actually do, where they need to look, because I think that's important.
Yeah, but also why they need to look, you know, where they need to look, but also why they need to look.
Well, I want to comment on this whole even, you know, you mentioned it, I think, at the beginning about the conspiracy theory, right? That the term conspiracy theorist was coined by the CIA when people started questioning the assassination of JFK.
That's right.
Right. So
and that in itself is not a conspiracy theory. That's an actual fact.
Right.
The phrase conspiracy theory was created by the CIA to discredit anybody who was looking beyond what had gone on.
Yeah. So I think that the key with this is, I think, helping people to know where to look, right?
Yeah.
And what to look at and what to look for.
Yeah.
And for me...
I just say something there? Yeah. So that they understand that what we're about to tell them is not conspiracy and it's not a theory.
Yeah. And it's also about... But it also doesn't mean that they have to take on board everything that they're hearing.
Yes.
Just like anything, they don't have to take on board everything that they're hearing.
That's right.
Would you agree, right?
Yeah.
So it's like... My biggest concern is that we have one source of information, one main source of information, which we call the mass media, right? Yep. Channel 7, Channel 9, Channel 10, etc. But the problem is that mass media has now turned into also includes Facebook. It also includes other social channels, because we're being directed to see information that they want us to see. So, you know, years ago it came out that Facebook was playing with what they put in people's feeds, and it would affect their emotions, you know, make them sad and make them happier, et cetera.
Yeah. And Zuckerberg was recorded live in a court situation admitting that.
Well, he was recorded live in a court situation admitting that they didn't want to put anti-vaccine information out on Facebook, and so therefore they made it harder for people to find that information. Now, the problem I find with that is that it makes us feel like it says that we do not have the power to make own decisions about our body,
to have
medical autonomy over our own
bodies. And also we're now being parented by large corporations.
Correct. So the thing is that if something is censored like that, it's important that we know, firstly, that it's been said, and we actually go and look for that information.
Yep.
Why? Not because that information is always necessarily correct or if it's the right thing.
Yep.
That's irrelevant.
Yep.
What's relevant is that we require support and challenge in order for us to grow, right?
Yep.
We need to have both parts of the scenario in order to make up our own minds.
Yep.
If we're getting one part of the situation or one part of the story, there's no opportunity to make up our own minds.
And I just want to say something, that the fact that we're mentioning that you know Murdoch Media or large corporations are manipulating data and controlling is not a friggin' bad thing. The fact that we're saying that is not that's not a reason for you to be scared. That's not a reason for you to be judgmental or angry. It's actually a beautiful thing, because what it does is it stimulates the part of us that's excited and inspired, that frontal lobe of the brain. It sends blood flowing there that's inspired to look and start to ask bigger questions about your life, about what's going
on,
to take back to control. Because
it shows we are in control.
Yes,
because at the end of the day, we're determining what we see. We're determining what they do, because if we aren't, if we don't take back that, we don't have they make their money from us.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I think that's important.
You mentioned their autonomy of your own physical
medical
form.
Autonomy.
Yeah.
Which came from the Nuremberg Code after the World War II, because it was, and whenever something is forced on us, that means that it's not. And that includes not having informed consent. That goes against that Nuremberg Code, right?
Yeah.
So places people can look. There's a documentary that came out that was about the truth about vaccines, right? Now, it was played free over 7 nights and about an hour and a half, and it went deep into the different vaccines and what happened and the results of that. And lots of people on there, lots of doctors on there, lots of people who'd been imprisoned, et cetera, because of the fact that they had different opinions. And that was a really balanced point of view, I found, and I really found that was cool. I don't know if you can get it free anymore. I think you might have to pay for that now, but it was released free at the time. But it was a very balanced point of view about things. Again, it's not about people saying, me saying that's right and that's wrong, you should listen to everything they say. I'm saying that's another point of view. Go listen to it, then make up your own mind, right? The other thing is that anything that – and anybody speaking on places – like a lot of our media at the moment is getting censored.
Yeah.
Like I'm trying to watch videos and they've been only just put up. They're getting tons of hits and they're being pulled down from YouTube and from – and so London Real is doing a great job at the moment by making sure that the – people that are speaking are people that have been banned on other platforms.
Yeah.
And the importance of this is not because it's important that you believe or listen and understand everything that those people say. But if you're not exposing yourself to that and you're not mm-hmm. exposing yourself to the other side,
yeah.
It's easy to be blinded by the fear
yeah.
of the other things that you're hearing.
I think, you know, mainstream media does not have your best interests at heart. It has the corporation's best interests at heart in the guise of, we've got your best interests at heart. So when you have to understand when we allow mainstream, and you know, the fact that they're blocking stuff is actually really good because
it shows you what you need to go.
Well, that's what it shows you, what you need to look at. And but it also shows that there's a revolution in information happening in the world right now, and we're fucking part of it. Mm. And you can be part of it, like joining London Real. You know, I love Brian Rose. I've followed Brian Rose's career now for about 3.5 years. I haven't really spoke to you much about Brian Rose, but I followed also Dan. He's a student of Dan Penna.
Yeah, you did speak to me about
that. I'm a big fan of, and so I've watched Brian Rose, and I've watched how he has handled this, and how he's emerging out of it as, you know, a true revolutionary and a true leader. That, you know, the thing about it is, the more we start pulling them on the fact that they're taking down that information, the quicker they're going to friggin' stop taking it down.
Oh,
they knocked him off, you know, he was knocked off so many platforms because of the Ike interview. But because of his push, including LinkedIn, and I thought, you know, out of all the people, I never thought LinkedIn would kick him off the platform. But within 2 weeks of him being his total identification being wiped off LinkedIn, within 2 weeks it was put straight back up again. So that says power to the people. When people want to hear the truth, if we keep saying that we want access to the data, we want access to the information, and as this revolution of information freedom pushes forward, and you're part of it right now, you can be part of it right now simply by logging on. And like Brian keeps saying, are you going to be at the forefront of it, or are you going to talk about the other people that were at the forefront of it? To be at the forefront of it, you just got to jump on, follow London Real, have a look at what Brian is doing, and then you'll see lots of other avenues there as well. And the quicker we can push for the truth, the quicker they're going to bend, because we can bring them to their knees to say, stop doing this. We don't want to use your platform. We will stop using your products and services, because you have to understand that we are the fuel for them. The quicker we can do this, and we're only at the beginning of it, and it's probably going to take 5 or 10 years, but in 5 or 10 years' time, I can guarantee you, if enough of us keep pushing, you know, the quicker they're going
to
bend.
There's also avenues for people to contact their local politicians.
Yeah.
And there's people, there's some of the politicians are posting on their social media that they're getting this information and they're not even going to pay attention to it. But the truth about it is, if they want to get re-elected, or if, you know, that's you know, they're supposed to represent the people, not just some of the people, all of the people,
right?
It's important that we make ourselves heard. You got to look at, so the other things people can look at, so there's some documentaries or some information videos. Other things people can look at are statistics and what are the conflicts of interest that some of the companies have. Because we were saying, it's not necessarily the individuals. It's not necessarily the doctors and nurses on the ground. I think some people, or, you know, it's not about that, but it's the corporations and the companies, and it's about looking at and finding out. Because we think that the medical profession are trained fully in all of this information, but the truth is that they're not necessarily.
That's right.
They're, you know, in a degree that takes many, many years, how much actual time do they spend on vaccines? Do they know the information? Do they know the ingredients in the vaccines? Because the thing about it is, you know,
I mean, they got to hand you, you know, when you got to take your child into a hospital to be vaccinated, right? They say to you, okay, we need you to hang around for an hour and a half afterwards. And it's like, well, why do you need me to hang around? Oh, should we have any adverse effects, or should there be, hold on a minute. So you're already telling me before you jab my child that there's a possibility that there's going to be an adverse effect as a result of what you're doing. So, and again, it's not because I'm pro or against, but you have to understand, you have to be aware. You don't want that dropped on you when you walk in there and you're still having to make that choice.
Well, yeah, and the thing is that, you know, if you ask any professional in their field, they'll be able to give you information about their profession and their field. And if a doctor can't give you the information on what the ingredients are in vaccines, that's a problem, right?
Yeah.
So you need to be able to ask questions and be understand that you have the power to do that and you're still in within your legal
100%
rights.
100%. Legal rights
to be able to do that.
You know, so, asking questions like you know, if you look at the ingredients on some of these vaccines, you know, why is there mercury in the vaccine? Can you explain to me why there's mercury in
human DNA cells?
Why is there human DNA cells? Why is there why does my brain need formaldehyde? Why does my brain need mercury? Why? Just explain that to me. And a lot of the time, the doctors can't even tell you because they literally spend like half a day studying vaccines through their whole degree.
And it's not even just that; it's the fact that they've been told, but they can't articulate. So it's okay for you to go and find those answers.
Ask the questions.
There's actually videos online of doctors at the Global Vaccine Summit at the end of 2019. Mm-hmm. You know, the same. You know, people that are on television ads saying that they're safe, in the summit saying that they're not safe. Yeah. You know, so it's like, why are they not telling us this? So find that information again. Yeah. If you then go and make the choice to vaccinate your kid, that's okay because that's your informed choice. It's not something that you think that you have to do because of the fact. Yeah. So it's not about changing your mind. It's about making sure that we're aware and that we're not just following along.
At the end of the day, it's also about, you know, keeping them accountable. We want, you know, like I want proper vaccines, but I don't want my child to be at risk just because they're getting a vaccine.
Absolutely.
You know, it's important that we vaccinate against. So, you know, if you're going into a country where there's frigging malaria, like I go up into the jungles of Peru with my kids, you know, there's mosquitoes there can give you a form of leprosy that they can't vaccinate against, you know. So just, you have to understand that I go into these places, but I need to know that these corporations are getting this right, that they, that whatever the vaccines that have been brought out are actually going to protect my child and not harm them just on their friggin' application.
So the other thing that I think people need to understand or question is that we're not saying the whole medical profession. Sometimes there's definitely other things that are questionable. You have to ask questions. But vaccines are particular because vaccines don't the testing of them is different. And as well as that, vaccine companies actually have immunity from prosecution.
Yeah.
Right? They actually they've gone in and asked for immunity from prosecution.
Now, the
right?
question to that is
why? Absolutely, 100%. And then people say, and so this is another thing, and it's just not, this is just about me. These are the questions I ask, right? So these are the things that need to be asked and people need to ask themselves. People say, but it's science. But the thing is that it's not necessarily science.
Yeah.
And science is also, there's a really great band TED Talk, and I think it's Rupert Sheldrake, and it's the science delusion, I think it's called.
Yeah.
And he talks about how people have manipulated science over time because it suits their theory. Mm-hmm. And we're not saying that this is always the case, but there are some times where this is possibly the case. And in the whole vaccine scenario, you got to look at how they're, you know, in terms of you know, what are the conflicts of interest? Are the vaccine, like, safety corporation, are they, you know, also promoting vaccines? Do you know what I mean? Like, what's actually happening? Who's getting the benefit of these things? And so it's really important. And, like, this is the same with the Bill Gates question. And Bill Gates, it's not about Bill Gates himself. It's about asking questions.
Yeah.
Why? Why is someone who's not a doctor, who doesn't have anything, you know, why is somebody like that so adamant? What are they going to get out of that, you know? And it's about asking those questions so that we can actually come up with some of those answers, some of those solutions for ourselves so that we can make the best possible decisions for our families, for ourselves, for our future. Because at the end of the day, like I said, we don't want to get to a point where we're, in 10 years' time, 100 years' time, they look back at this as the Auschwitz of
our modern time. And, you know, I'll let people look into that themselves, but it's a very interesting question to answer for yourself when you ask, why would Bill Gates be doing that? And when you start to look, and you don't have to look very far, the problem is how much of the information is getting hidden now, but you don't have to look very far to see what his agenda actually is and why exactly he's trying to do it. And you know, you look at some of his TED Talks and what he's been noted as saying is, you know, is frightening to say. I was saying it because just here in this studio yesterday, and one of the good chaps that is here, he nearly fell off his bleeding chair. He was like, what? Like, really? That's a crazy thought.
And but that, like, no, that that's he's saying that on one TED Talk, he's saying that we're using, we need to use vaccinations to
control population.
Control population. But here you go, have a vaccine. Mm-hmm. And the thing is that people don't see that, and people think because the vaccine is not necessarily killing you straight away that it's not that it's not actually doing that. The thing is that
nobody has died straight away from a vaccine, Mitch.
Well, they have. But I'm saying
it's a long term thing. Yeah.
Yeah, and also that the medical profession are getting long term customers from the problems that are being caused.
Just
by
to explain that a little bit.
Well, because if you're vaccinated, right, and you, for whatever reason, you have a reaction to it, or you have, like, there's a lot to be said, right, about the fact that there's so many vaccines in our that we have now. Like, the schedule is ridiculous compared to what we had when we were kids, right?
Yeah.
That and the amount of problems we're having in our community. So it's not limited to, but there's things like sudden infant death syndrome, autism, the shaken baby syndrome they've spoken about, peanut allergies, ADD. There's a lot of different things that they're and other sorts of diseases, viruses, et cetera, that have been attributed to the vaccines, right, vaccinations, or that there's no hard evidence that they're not attributed to vaccine. So
well, there's more hard evidence that they are as opposed to they're not. You know, so there's more hard evidence that says, look, statistically, if we look, and then if you know, and then there's so much hard evidence that says, you know, there is not an active element within the ingredient that actually prevents what it is they say the vaccine is actually preventing. And you don't have to look very far to see
well,
that.
Well, that may be incorrect at the moment because they are censoring it more, right?
Right.
So if that's the case, if you do need to look harder to find the other side, that should be a really good sign.
Yeah.
Why is this hard to find? If there was no problem, why is it so hard to find? And again, it's not necessarily all medications. It's not a down against the whole medical industry. There's definitely been so many progressions in medications. But, you know, a lot of the things that have been attributed as a benefit of vaccines were as a benefit of more hygiene, more sanitation, et cetera, in certain areas. So it's like, get the whole picture, you know. Even simple things like the World Health Organization, right?
Yeah.
Who runs the World Health Organization? Where do they get their funding?
Yeah.
Who's in charge of it, etc. Yeah. And what are the benefits to them? Because at the end of the day, you look at the viruses and the infections over the little epidemics and pandemics over the years. They actually changed the description of and the severity of what needs to be classed as a pandemic, right?
Yeah.
And you've got to ask why are they doing that? And I'm not giving you – my job is not to give you answers. My job is to go, you're wise enough and smart enough to go, I can find that for myself. Why are you filtering what you're giving to me?
Yeah.
Why do I need to why do I not need to not know this stuff? Because I'm wise enough, I'm smart enough to make my own decisions. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the key with all of this. There's so many other factors. I mean, we know vaccine injured kids, right? And this is why this is after the fact. I actually started to look into the whole thing years ago. And this is after the fact. I've known some children who are vaccine injured, and I think, in my personal opinion, I know other children who have had complications that I believe are from vaccines because prior to the vaccines they didn't have that happening. But they're not as severe as some of the ones I'm you know we're talking about. We won't mention names, but it's not about right or wrong, good bad. It's not about any. We're all on the same side.
That's right.
But you're wise enough, we're wise enough, we're powerful enough. We can make these decisions for ourselves. We don't need it's so important that we don't allow fear to get in the way of us having that autonomy for ourselves. One size does not fit all.
That's right.
Let's say even if even if there is a lot of safety around, right? Yeah. One size does not fit all. Right. There are some people who are going to be affected by this, and it's a matter of being able to choose.
Yeah.
And that's the biggest
thing. I mean, it's an important point there. Both sides are saying the same thing. Both sides are trying to do the same thing, and that is protect our kids and protect life. It's just you have to be informed, and we have to keep these people clean. And it's important. We have a right to make sure that our children are not the guinea pigs, and we don't look into our future and look back on this moment and go, you know, we believed them when they, you know, when there was a lot of lying going on and there was a lot of misinformation, there was a lot of suppression of information. If they're okay, well, then why would you suppress a testing or a regulation of a product? And it's just so we have a, you know, you're going to want to look at your kids in the future and know that you made a friggin' informed choice.
Absolutely. Whichever choice that it was.
Whichever choice. Absolutely.
And, you know, science is not dogma. It was never meant to be dogma. It was meant to be questioned.
Yeah.
Are you sure? It's about hypothesis. It's about testing. It's about, you know, asking questions. If we're getting to a point where we're just saying it's science, well, no, tell me why.
Yeah.
Show me why. Explain. And that's you're perfectly within your rights to be able to do that.
Yeah.
And then I want to also say
– we have to understand that, you know, with these corporations and with these higher end of town elitists and what goes on, there. And when you stop and have a look, there's a great documentary called Out of the Shadows. Fantastic documentary. Now, it's a very shocking documentary, but when you
got to get over the fact that it's very American and very, it's very American, you know.
But it had some good data.
It had some definitely good information.
Good data. And when you stop and look at that, you have to understand those guys at the higher end of town, I keep going back to Ricky Gervais at the Golden Globes, where he was saying, you people have absolutely no fucking idea what happens out on the street. You live in this bubble, and the problem is that we kowtow to the bubble, we infatuate with the bubble, we look up to the bubble, and in the bubble they're just people who've no idea what's going on at a ground level in the homes of people where there's five or six, you know, families living in a two-bedroom house. They've just no idea, you know. So it's easy for people at that high end to just discard, but we are the ones that have the power, and we have the power by saying, we want the truth. We want to know what's happening. We want to ask the bigger questions.
I think that's actually another thing that people can go and look at and look for is that documentary, because it shows the power of media and what media, and not just media, it's also talking about Hollywood as well, you know.
Yeah.
I think I want to make sure, though, that people are understanding that we're not saying any of that's right or wrong. We're saying question, look for yourself. Mm-hmm. The answer is never in somebody else.
Yeah.
And the problem comes, and my biggest issue here, comes from people saying, you must do this.
Yeah.
And if anybody's doing
and I'm
that,
guilty of it. I mean, I'm guilty of it. I'm guilty of people saying, oh, I'm going to do this and me going, for fuck's sake, get
don't
informed.
Do
you don't know what you're talking about. What are you doing? Don't do that. And it's not about that. And I mean, I love how you put it. You really helped me to go, okay, this is what it's about, Mitch. This is how we stimulate it.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's about
the question.
Like looking inside of yourself. The answer is inside of yourself.
Yeah.
But if you're basing the answer inside of yourself just because you're afraid to look, and this is another big thing, some people are afraid to look.
They're afraid to look,
because,
yeah.
And I can understand that, because I was in that place where I was afraid to look as well.
Yeah.
And there's a part of me that's still afraid to look, because there's a part of me that goes, oh, just like don't worry about it. Do you know what I mean? But
because I think it's because in some way you can trust one side a certain amount, you can trust another side a certain amount, but then either side, you know, it starts to get crazy, and then there's bastardized information that goes out
both
that you
sides.
Can't trust on both sides.
Absolutely.
So ultimately you have to listen to yourself.
Yes.
And whenever you're making a choice in fear, it's the wrong choice.
Yes. Well, it's a choice based in fear.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, it's based in fear. Yeah. It's not based in truth.
Yeah.
And it's about, okay, what's my truth?
Yeah.
And that's the...
And having the courage, having the tenacity. And I think that's, you know, people have been saying, oh, we're waking up. No, we are not waking up. We are fucking awake. We are awake. We're just becoming awake to the fact that we're awake. And I think that we are... This. I'm really optimistic. This is an absolute revolution in time. And you're awake and in that time. So it's when we're awake, the beauty about it is when we go beyond the fear and we wake up, we're in a place of power and love and compassion and empathy. We're timeless, spaceless, chargeless, massless. We're just pure energy, pure God force, pure love. We are not this physical form. We are not threatened by anything that happens to this physical form. We're a mortal self and we are magic. And that's where we have to head.
You know, I'm happy to be questioned on any of that stuff because I'm cool to understand that I don't understand everything. Yeah. And I think that anybody who tells you otherwise is probably lying because at the end of the day, then nobody understands the whole lot.
But 100%.
But I know what's right for me. Yeah. And I think that everybody needs us to know what's right for them. And I think this is the longest podcast ever, but that's okay. I really
hope you guys like it.
I really enjoyed being able to share that information. Anything else you want to say?
TTFN.
That's it.
If you found this information inspiring, make sure you subscribe and tune in to the next Dorothy and the Dealer podcast.